and Tessa. Give it up for the band. Amazing job. Fantastic, fantastic. Before I get my last start, H.C. Owen, before I start preaching, who's ready for the word of God? Hey, who enjoyed this morning? Oh, a great word today, wasn't it? From Pastor Graham. So it's a pleasure just to where we're at in the series of classic stories, and I get to pick whatever I want to preach about. I get to pick what verse I wanted to talk about. And basically, we're going to start spending time in the book of John. If not familiar with the book of John, it's the main gospels of the Bible, the heart of the Bible, John, with the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is where he writes about himself, that Jesus loved him first, or even more. And even more, he's the only one that he only loved. And basically, it's a story about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we get to find out about his heart for humanity, his heart for the love of us. And it's one thing to know who Jesus is, right? One thing to know Jesus. It's another thing to know who Jesus is. And I believe that John didn't just write the book so he can write recordings of what he did. He actually wrote not about his actions, but also his heart. He wrote about his heart. He wrote everything about his heart. He wrote everything about what Jesus really, his actions were all about. It's one thing to know who he is, another thing to know who Jesus is. And our confidence is really rooted in what he tells us about himself. Because if he's not who he says he is, then really, nothing that matters in the Bible really matters, right? I've got a rhetorical question I have for you. You don't have to answer it. You just have to say, All right? And it's a question that I wasn't too sure I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask anyway. And I'm going to ask if you know this person. You're probably saying, But then also I'm going to ask you another question. But is the greatest player, NBA player, ever played the game? You might have your favorites, but you don't know this one. Some of you are a bit too young. Some of you are a bit too really young. But this guy, does anyone know who Michael Jordan is?
Yeah.
I said, But does anyone know who Michael Jordan is? Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe you've seen him. Yeah, maybe you've seen footages of NBA. He won 6 NBA titles. Has everyone tried to be like him? Has everyone failed? Has everyone failed here? You try to be Michael Jordan. Is it because you didn't have a spirit? You want to be like Jordan, but you didn't have a spirit. You want to be like Jordan jumping with his tongue hanging out and do the 6-foot jump and all that because you didn't have a spirit. Is it because that you want to be Michael Jordan? And you want to be anyone else you could see if you was your favorite player? Would you try to emulate him? Is it because he wasn't the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is it because he didn't die for you? He's still alive, but anyone you could pick off that there was dead, he didn't die for you. But I do believe that Jesus died for us, right? He died for a reason. And guess what? His spirit lives in you. His spirit lives in you. Now, how many times do you daily emulate Jesus? How many times do you actually go out there and when you wake up in the morning, do you pray in the morning? Do you read the Bible in the morning? Right for the whole day? Do you live to be like Jesus? I want to talk to you about of John. John emulates about what Jesus' actions are about. He talks about these 7 I am statements. I don't know if you've read John. I want to encourage you to read John. John is a perfect book to know who Jesus is. But you actually get to know who he is and what his heart is all about. There's these statements that Jesus says right through the Bible. 7 I am statements. The 7 I am that you are, that he is, that he can never be for you. He's always there for you. And I want to talk to you about those statements. Those who are hungry for God, those who are hungry for the presence of God, have a relationship with Him. Those who are hungry for the Word of God get fed, right? Those who are hungry for the Word of God get fed. And right through these verses, in verse 6 of, John 6, verse 35, we'll throw it up there. Sorry, if you don't know my title of my message, it's Branch Out for Change. Branching Out for Change. The reason why I chose that, because Jesus died on the cross. Though it wasn't a big tree, but man, the branch means a lot of things. Quite significant, but where Jesus died, right? Quite significant. And branching out for change. And that's why I believe Jesus died for us so we can change. And we can live a life for Him. And I believe in verse 6, we have the seven statements. Can you put them up? That I am the bread. Those who are hungry will get fed the word of God. That I am the bread of life. That I am the light of the world. That I am the door. And those who look for a good ship, the shepherd will die for the sheep. And this one, I am the resurrection and the life. Right from the scriptures, he talks about I am. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what I'm going to be talking about tonight, that I am the true vine. We cling on to the true vine, that we live a life off of. If we're disconnected from the true vine, then we don't live a life. And I believe in that, I do encourage you to read the book of John. Those are the seven statements. He tells us his heart is for humanity. Moses and God is having a conversation in the mount. God tells Moses to go and tell the people of Israel that they're about to be free. Moses is wondering, how are they going to believe me? What do I tell them? And what should I say that what your name is? And God said, and we pick it up on here on we are. Exodus 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. He didn't say it like this. He said, I am. I am who I am. I am who I am. That's what he said to Moses. Isn't that scary? I am. That's quite significant. Because I am a child of God. I am free. I am loved. And I declare the word of God over you. Because I am. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
I am. That's what he says. And he's telling Moses to go back and tell them that I am has sent me to you. I am. See, the I am in the Old Testament is now in the New Testament. That made us dwelling amongst us. That the Word became flesh. And the flesh became the Word. You understand what he said? Because the Word is now alive. That the Word is always alive, but he makes us dwelling inside of us. You and I, it lives inside of us. And I'm believing right now here and now to declare that Jesus, where the Word became flesh, and He made us dwelling amongst us, now the living inside of us, ready to be the shepherd, ready to be the door, ready to be the vine, ready to be whatever we need Him to be, because we can't be what He is. We can't, because what we is, what He is to us. And we are, and then I want to talk about the I am the true vine statement. That I am the true vine statement, because I am the true vine. We go to John 15, 1-4. Verses 1-4. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me and bears no fruit. Where every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I love this. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He is the great I am. The great I am that when you remain in him, I promise you, gives you power that you haven't understand. Better than Michael Jordan. Better than Michael Jordan. God is the power source. And by us being the branches stemming from the vine, we are plugging into God. Seriously, we're plugging into God. When we plug into God, together we become fully functional. We really do. We require recharging. Right? We need the power to power ourselves. We need power to light up the lights. What purpose is a lamp which is made of metal, glass, and whatever else is made of? If there's no power, it doesn't work. What about us? What purpose do we serve if we're not powered by God? What purpose do we serve the community and if we don't have for humanity? Now, what purpose do we serve? And I promise that God made a purpose for you in your life. And I'm believing, and I'll be fighting all night, I'll be fighting last night, I'll be fighting the rest of this week about what to write, but also what the devil has told me to write. The enemy just be stuck in my heart, be stuck in my mind, and I remember what I was writing, that I am more than the conqueror. The city cannot bear fruit by itself unless if it's not connected to the vine. For heaven to earth to meet, we got to connect to the vine to be even more fruitful. And I believe that we must remain in him and him alone. And true spiritual fruit can only be produced if we stay connected. Amen? To remain in him means that if we live a life disconnected, I think we've got a slide. To not remain in him means that we live a disconnected life. I don't know if you can see, but no source, the power, the true vine, which is Jesus, equals no purpose, equals no joy, equals a disconnected life. A life of Jesus brings poverty. A life without Jesus brings financial difficulty. Remember, the only reason the branch has value, remember this, this is this. The only reason the branch has value is to what it's connected to. To what it's connected to. I'm going to skip point one. I'm going to land it later. I'm going to skip to point number two. I'm sorry, man, for missing that. Point two, because this is a bit complicated. Yeah, let's go to pruning brings fruit. Point number two. My first point, but it's point number two. Follow. Pruning brings fruit. Everybody say attachment. See, the Bible says, I am the true vine. So he's saying, God is saying, there's so many vines out there, but I am the true vine. You know what I'm saying? Follow with me with this. The Bible says, I am the true vine. We can attach ourselves to so many things, but if you don't attach your life to the true vine, you'll be disconnected. You'll be disconnected. If you don't connect yourself to the true vine, you'll be disconnected. What you have, when you attach yourself, not to the true vine, but you attach yourself to something else, what anxiety, guess what? Anxiety starts to speak to you. When you start attaching yourself to stress, guess what? What speaks back to you? Stress. When you attach yourself, not the true vine, but the vine of deception, guess what? It starts speaking to you as well. If you start attaching yourself to lust, guess what speaks to you? Lust. Attach yourself to poverty forever and ever and ever. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Guess what? It teaches you to be in poverty. Now, can I tell you something else? The good news. The good news about the Bible book, that I am the true vine. If you attach to me, if you attach yourself to me, guess what? I'm going to bring you good word. Jesus starts speaking to you in your problems. Jesus starts breaking chains. Because you attach yourself to the true vine. You attach yourself to the true vine, it brings you freedom. You attach yourself to the true vine, it brings you faith. If you attach yourself to a true vine, it brings you love. True love. Not lust. And if we attach ourselves to the true vine, God speaks to you. Speaks freedom into your life and brings love into your life. God cuts every branch if you attach yourself to the true vine. Because what else God said? He said he cuts every branch. If you attach yourself to the true vine, it will help you to break down these barriers that keeps holding you back to his purpose. Amen? Is everyone getting this? God prunes us to grow. God prunes us to grow. God prunes us to grow. Because here's that. He helps us to reach our full potential. He prunes you to either, here you go, he prunes you to either change you or to train you. God prunes you to change you or to change you or to train you. I used to play league when I was little. Maybe about 10 onwards, 8-10, whatever it is. And I used to make a lot of rep teams. So I made Auckland teams back in New Zealand. And I made it up to about when I was under 17, I made the Auckland team, made a lot of rep teams. But then things started to drop off. I got too complacent of myself. I got too complacent of making the team all the time. So I knew I was going to make it. I knew I was good. I knew I could smash them. I knew I could run. I could knock and score 10 tries. But it was about, I got dropped 1 year and I couldn't understand why. Because the coach saw I became complacent. He'll change you and he will train you. So what did I do? I went back and changed my habits and trained my habits to make me a better player. So when you get cut down from God, he's only doing it to bring you up. He's only to bring you up. Verse 2. Because of every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That is to be so that it is even more fruitful. The pruning process renewing our minds involves renewing our minds, focusing Christ alone to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and through prayer and reading the true word. Amen. Okay, to my original point one. In point one, right? Please. Speak on that. I'm not in here. Okay, I love this visual. Point one, staying connected influences others. Staying connected influences others. Staying connected influences others. I am the true vine. Stay connected to the true vine. You'll do things for you. People will see it. People will love it. Your generosity, you're serving in the house, loving me, serving what this power you're doing. It influences others to join the team. It influences others to think what you're doing. Because Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He calls you to be the light of the world too. I am. Just like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys were influencers, right? I don't know if you know the story, but these guys were the whole city of Babylon, which we were meant to bow down. But they actually changed the nation. They actually changed the community, the society, the culture, the oppression they were under. While everyone was bowing down, these guys stood up for God. While everyone was bowing down to anxiety, these guys stood up for God. They knew it would bring them through the fire. And I'm believing tonight. And it's a clear picture that all these Rose Red play, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the story was just influenced the entire nation, influenced the entire generation. That we bow down to a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. And it's a clear picture at all these roles that the gardener, the God the Father, plants all believers around the world, you and I, I don't know where your walk with Christ is, but I do believe you're here for a reason. You're here to make a difference. They're here to go out to the world and make disciples, to preach the word to the world, to preach the good news. For some of you, it'll be your actions for generosity, serving in the house, leading a life group, through your praise and worship. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 verses 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey them, to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always, and with you always, to the very end of age." As we connect to Jesus, as we become carriers and be influencers to Christ, into our workplace, into our schools, into our neighborhoods, into our communities. I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit helps you to get through those places. You know, he makes a way for you, like he made a way for the Red Sea, for Moses. He opens the door for you because I am the door. If you look for a safe passage, then I am the door. If you look for a good shepherd, then we do have a good shepherd, that he laid his life for you. He laid his life for you. And I'm believing tonight that he's going to lay his life out for you this half of the year. No doubt, we are here to unmistakably influence the good, the good of God. No doubt. Rita asked me if I was going to bring her into this preaching. I said, nah, not really, but I am. she's looking at me now. Me and Rita met, I don't know. Long time ago, but I didn't know her, but we knew a friend. She knew a friend. I knew her friend, same friend. But it was funny. Like she saw me playing Lee, the friend, but she told Frida about me. Cool. I know you and me. I know you're Sid. You know the street. Everyone knows. You should know. But she didn't know me. It was hard to get. But anyway. My story. It's like, the friend tried to get me and Frida together to talk to each other, to love each other. You know, they moved on, long story short, we actually got married to each other. That's how we met. Yeah, man. But here's the thing. If Frida didn't know the source, she would not make the power. But here's the thing, though.
Look at that.
Here's the thing.
Whatever you
teach. I didn't make.
What's the
thing? I didn't make Frida. I want to make Jesus. I heard of Jesus, I didn't really know Jesus. I saw what he did, but I didn't really care what he did. I read about what he did, what I wanted to read, I didn't know what the heart of Jesus is. Only because I met Peter. Stay connected, influences others. Stay connected. Influences others. What God has planned for you is to meet other people, to connect them to Christ. To meet them to Christ. And we have absolutely the authority. Jesus said, we have all authority. We have all authority. To remain in them is to stay connected to the Bible. As God trusts, and to trust God as he leads us to prompt us, bring his love and hope to the world. We are blessed to be a blessing. We represent the love of Christ in every person in our paths, in our branches, as Jesus did, was to reach the community. As you raise your hand, to him. He's up. You or not? Would you do the same? My point three. We'll get the whole team up. Sorry. Maybe. Hey, point number three is Jesus gives real change. Jesus gives real change. I've had the privilege and the honor to have my mum and dad here for the last week or so. And it's something I hold really dearly because I've not seen my mum and dad for 4 years. True story. And my dad, me and my dad don't have a relationship until the week they had just gone past. And Jesus brings real change. And I didn't know where I was going to go with this until I had my revelation with my dad. And true story, he serves in church as a youth pastor. And he's so proud of me and my family. Because so many times that he tried to get us into church. He tried to push us to church. I pushed back. But only because the love of God has for my life. Because I know Jesus now to forgive him. We had this relationship. We were in and out, arguing at each other, yelling at each other. And those times I'd run away. Those times I'd run away for months. Didn't come back. Didn't do anything. But he would chase me down. He'd beat me up and all that. That aside. Now that we had this week together, we get to fellowship, we get to laugh, we get to cry, we got to pray for each other. We got to do a lot of things that I didn't think I'd have with my father. I did a lot of things that not only that I've seen it in movies, but it can actually happen to some of us. One of us is not having a relationship with the father. See, but when you get connected to the master, when you have a true relationship with the true vine, then the Lord of Lords can make things happen, make things possible, possibly that you can never imagine can happen. Where our Lord of Lords and the King of Kings makes all things come together. See, me and my dad, we didn't talk to each other, we didn't on the phone, or we didn't talk to each other when we saw eye to eye. And we were just like, yep, it would be a shrug of the shoulder because I didn't love on him, but he didn't love on me, so I didn't really care. I didn't really care for him. I wasn't asking for anything. I didn't look for anything. It was just there. But this whole week, I've got to spend with my dad, had dinner with him. I've got to spend a lot of time with him. And what I'm saying is that Jesus gives real change. If you're looking for change, then I am the true vine, he's saying. If you're looking for change, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you look for change, then I'm your good shepherd. I am. If you're looking for love, he's your resurrection and the life. He'll give you love. He died for you. And I believe it tonight. When you abide in me, he'll move closer to you. The more you move closer to you, things start to change. He gives you hope and a future. Our plans for good and not for disaster. He gives you a plan. And the world can't give you that. Unless you're on a Facebook feed and feed you rubbish like that. But the world can't give you that. But really what he sees, and he says you're better than that. And not only that, and he knows your story. He's already written it for you. He's already ordered your steps. To stay connected to the true voice. To listen to the true voice, the right voice. Not the anxiety voice that we connect ourselves to. But if you connect yourself to the true voice, you hear God's voice. We listen to the truth. Yeah, your marriage can. Your family can. You can do this too, but when you put your hands, your life in the hands of the Master, with your hands in the life of Jesus, everything will change. And what I know about this Jesus, if he can do it for me and my family, he can do it for you too. Because Jesus brings real change. He does. He's not a self-help program. He's not a picture we put on the wall that make us feel better. This is a real Jesus. This is the real blood of the Lamb. He will give you the testimony. He can share to the world that you can help them to be an influencer. Jesus gives real change. Not change for the moment. Not change for just a minute. He gives you change for everlasting, eternal change. And I know, and it says the scripture in 2 Corinthians. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. When you connect to God, when you connect to the Father, this means that you have a new life. The old is gone. The new is here. It's about to begin. And it doesn't say the old life is going away. It doesn't mean the life is coming along. No, the life is gone. All you have to do is remain in His goodness. All you have to do is remain in His goodness. You're already free from addiction. You already are the man of God. You already are the virtuous woman. You already are a child of God. But what we have to do as a church is believe in it and walk in it. Walk in it. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. God already did it. I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes when it's raining down your life and you don't know where it's going. It doesn't feel like that. But the battle has already been won and God has already established that there are plans for good and not for disaster. God gave you a hope and a future no matter where you're, no matter what you've done. The good news is the old is gone and new is here. It's not over. You can change. It's not over. When you connect yourself to the true vine, when you're down on your knees in that secret place, God loves you so much to not even care about you. He loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son so we can live a life fully, life more abundant. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Give your eyes closed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we come to a